Turn with me, if you would, this morning to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 10. It's a joy to be here with y'all again. I've been looking forward to this. It's been a crazy week with the holidays and cooking and eating and all that kind of stuff. But it's always good to be here. Be remembering the group in Jackson, Sovereign Grace Church of Jackson. Nathan and Bruce are taking services. Got a few more folks actually moved from Don Fortner's church, moved, trying to find a place over by us. Two women. Been a tremendous blessing so far. And then I talked to David Pledger, and there's a gentleman that lives in St. Louis. Actually, he's the son of missionary Lance Heller. His name is Ryan. And I met him. He came for the first time. He said he looked us up. He said, "Well, you're only an hour and a half away." So he's came. I hope he's there. He said he would start to continue to come. He'd been going to a Presbyterian church, and David said, "You're not going to hear anything there." And he said, "Well, I'm not." And he said, "You're not going to hear anything." And so I said, "Well, give me his number." And I called him, and he's been coming. So he's an engineer. He comes from a long. They're all. Wow, it's like, okay. So it is good to see him. And like I say, it's my wife, Melinda, and I are thankful that you asked us to come here again. 1 Kings. We're going to look at the gospel in 1 Kings. I'm going to read chapter 1 through verse 10. I'm sorry, chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. 1 Kings chapter 10. And you'll be familiar with the story. There's at least four messages in here. But we're going to look at two. So we'll listen to this one, and by God's grace, then we're going to see some more in the next gathering. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices, and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat on his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and thy prosperity exceeded the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loveth Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king, to do judgment and justice." And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, and of spices very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Now obviously, King Solomon is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee. The God the Father always delighted in his Son. And to set thee on the throne of Israel. He is a king from everlasting. So the picture, the typology is set forth in wonderful type and picture here in 1 Kings. But what we have here is what happens when God is drawing a sinner, the Queen of Sheba, unto himself. And like I said, I'm reading from the Word of God. There's no error here. So I'm not going to make anything up. I'm just going to read. And you see just the wonderful, glorious gospel of God's free and sovereign grace as it is found in the whole Scripture, especially here in 1 Kings. The first thing I want to notice is when the Queen of Sheba heard. She heard. When God the Holy Spirit begins His marvelous work, He uses means. And the means He is pleased to use is the proclamation of Christ and Him crucified. She heard. She heard something. But we're going to see specifically what she heard about. We don't have to guess. Spurgeon has a wonderful message on this. And he says that she came to prove him with hard questions. And questions like, how can man who is born in sin be made just with God? How can God be said to know everything and be everywhere, yet He doesn't remember our sins? He didn't forget anything, and yet He says He doesn't remember our sins. Another question would be Job. How can man that is born of a woman be clean? How can God be both just and justify the ungodly? I'd say these are some questions that she had on her mind, because it says she had questions concerning the name of the Lord. I don't know. She probably asked him some political questions. How do you run your kingdom? And maybe compared her kingdom to his kingdom. I'm sure they may perhaps just maybe talked about the weather. Maybe she had some questions, proved him with hard questions. But the questions she had on her mind was concerning the Lord God, concerning herself. So the first thing is she heard. She heard something. Well, Romans, turn to Romans chapter 10. There's numerous passages, but we'll just look at just one, I guess, and maybe a few others, but just one in maybe particular. Romans chapter 10, Paul says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, they go about to establish their own righteousness, and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith the Scripture? The word is nigh thee, even thy mouth, and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Lord Jesus, that thou shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between Jew and Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, that bring glad tidings of good things. But I'm not saying that, I'm not going to, Henry would always say, I'm not going to put God in the box. You got to hear the message from a man standing behind the pulpit here. When you go out, if you know the gospel, tell them the gospel. Witness. Evangelize. I will say one thing. Bring them here. There's something about the preaching of the gospel. When you're with somebody one-on-one, you got to listen to what they say. And then you tell them what you believe or what the Scriptures. When they come here, at least so far, at least right now, it's one way. There's not what I think. And that's why I think these Bible, my opinion is these home Bible studies are, I don't think they're sanctioned by the Word of God, but everybody's got an opinion. Well, who's in charge? Well, it depends on whose house you're at. No. Bring them here. Well, I don't know what you're saying. Well, come here. Come to Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of the Ozarks. Just come. Whether it's somebody standing here or you have a video stream, but the Lord uses, He uses. Remember Nahum? Remember, we may look at here a little bit later. Remember what happened, how he heard? There was a little Jewish girl was taken captive. Now that's horrible. That's horrible. I think of my daughter, if somebody would have taken away from me, that's not good. We say that's bad. The Lord overruled all that situation. And she heard what was going on with Nahum. He was a great guy, great captain of the salvation, a great captain of the army of the Babylonians, and he was a leper. And she said, "Would to God, my Lord," which is my master, he knew that, you know, that there's a God in Israel, there's a prophet in Israel. And then it was told him that this little girl told him that there was somebody in Israel that could help him. He used that little girl. He heard. And we'll see, he went to the prophet's house expecting, like Queen of Sheba. But the first thing is that she heard. It is Christ that saves by grace alone, through faith alone, and He uses the vehicle of His declared truth. Now, notice what it says, when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, Christ, concerning the name of the Lord. I don't want to get too intricate, but I can't help it. She didn't hear about the law. She didn't hear about tradition. She didn't hear about dead orthodoxy. She didn't hear about mere intellectualism. She heard specifically about the fame, the glory, the splendor of the King. And that's what we are here doing. I'm not here to promote me. We're here to promote the fame of the King. So she heard of Solomon, and she heard of Solomon, "You must hear the truth regarding Christ, Emmanuel, the Son born, the Governor, the Mighty God." You remember Simeon, and I may have said this last time I was here, I can't remember, but when Simeon, who was waiting for the consolation of Israel, which is another name for Christ, when he saw Christ, he picked up a human being. He picked up a baby. And he says, "Let me die in peace. I have seen thy salvation." He's looking at a person. He's looking at a person. And I know from fact that we can have our doctrine right. We can dot the I's. We can cross the T's. We can have all this together and still miss Christ. So she heard. But she specifically heard of the fame of Solomon. How can we trust an unrevealed Savior or one who is unable to save them who come to Him to the uttermost? We must hear of the fame of Solomon. Now this third point is redundant. Concerning the name of the Lord. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And verse 12. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." There is no other name. God incarnate in the flesh, John chapter 1. "We beheld the glory of God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." The name. Pick a name. Pick a name of Christ. Pick a name of God. And therein you will see the gospel. Let's just try a few. Jehovah Shalom. You don't have to turn there. Judges chapter 24. What does that mean? God our peace. How can sinners who are fallen by nature have peace with God? Christ. Exodus 17:15, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. What does it say? His banner over us is love. What act of love has anybody seen that compared to the love of the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, suffering and bleeding and dying for us? Genesis chapter 22, verse 14, Jehovah Jireh, you're familiar with the story. The Lord, our provision. He's our altar. We come to God. We have access to come boldly. Why? Because He's made that provision. He is that provision. Father, I see the wood. I see the fire. But where's the sacrifice? The Lord will provide Himself a sacrifice. Jehovah Jireh. Jeremiah 23:6, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Now who here wants to stand before God on their own righteousness? Christ must be our righteousness. Exodus 48:35, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. The Lord is there for us. This work will go on if the Lord is here. Jehovah is Jehovah Shammah. If He's here, if He's in Jackson, I don't care. Danville, Louisville, New Guinea, these works will continue if God is there. Remember what Moses said with the pillar? If you're not going to go with us, we don't want to move. That's what, when Bruce and I, when we were gathered together and we were first starting the thing out, we were scared to death. It was like, we don't want to do anything that would dishonor our Lord, and we don't want to, we just want Him to meet with us and to continue to meet with us. Because when God's not there, you just have form and legalism and ceremony. That's all you got. Oh, the queen, this sinner, she heard of the fame of Christ, of Solomon, concerning the name of the Lord. And then she came to prove Him with hard questions. Hard questions. How can man who is old be born again? Let me tell you. You must be born again. The next thing I see in here is this is the problem of our flesh right here. Verse 2, and she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels, bare spices, much gold, precious stones. She came to Solomon to commune, and she communed with him with all that was in her heart. Now that's the good part. The first part, she comes bearing gifts. Oh my. This is our unenlightened natural reasoning. To bring something. Can't I just bring something? It's getting close to Christmas. I know. I'm like that little drummer boy. And when I was a kid, I loved that song because I played drums. I'm just going to play my best. I'm just going to do my best for Him. He's going to notice it. He's going to see it. And He's going to have favor on me. And you tell me what religion doesn't do that. That's what we do by nature. God told Adam, this is, He had taught him the gospel, taught him right, and he had two sons. He taught them the same thing, but one of them thought, I'm not going to bring a sacrifice. I'm going to bring the best. I'm a hunter. I'm going to bring him the best. God rejected it, and He always rejects our best, because what does Isaiah say our righteousness is? Our righteousness is plural. This righteousness is filthy rags. We cannot please God on our own. We cannot please God based on our worth, our merit, our ability. But we're going to bring something to God by way to impress Him, by way of merit, recognition of worth. No. This is man's religious efforts to please God. It's foolish and foolhardy. Isaiah tells us, this is how we come. Everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. And he that hath no money, come and buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. There's another question. How can you do that? You can't. But God does provide a sacrifice and a provision, and he has Jesus paid it all to him I owe. But we're constantly, as believers, we still do this. We get in a little trouble, and we first thing we do is how much I can bail myself out. I'm going to make sure Scott doesn't know about this. I'm going to make sure the rest of the church doesn't know about it. I'm just going to take care of this. Nobody will know. Or we're young, we're strong, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And until the Lord sets us flat on our back, we can't do anything physically, mentally, while we're still sharp, we're going to figure these things out. No. Why, he asks, why do you spend money for that which is not bread? And why do you labor for that which satisfies not? The woman with the issue of blood, she figured that out only after she spent everything she had and grew worse. But that's a picture of salvation. Worse and worse and worse. And then a friend, a neighbor, tells you to come. Tells you something you've never heard. The gospel of the grace of God is so contrary. It's like people accuse us of just, it's the new. It's new. It can't be true. New. No. We can go to the annals of church history, go way back, and pull up and say, no, this is what was being preached when this country was founded. Edwards. Bunyan. We can go back. Well, then they don't want to hear that. I've never heard that. Because it admits you're bringing something. You're bringing your gifts. You're bringing your things. This is old man religion. This is the way of Cain. This is kin and brother to Nahum's attempts to please God and the prophet of old, like I mentioned in 2 Kings chapter 5. He comes before, you remember him, he comes with his horses and he comes to the prophet's house. And he's sitting waiting, he's up there and he's sitting there waiting, and Nahum he sends out his servant. And he says, go wash in the River Jordan 3 times, you'll be made. And he gets all mad. If a governor came in here, Blunt or whoever, would we get a better chair? Would we? There's a leather chair. Would we bring that leather chair out? What would we do? No. You sit down. You're a sinner like everybody else, and you hear what's got to be said. But he said, it's so typical of man's religion. Nahum, he gets upset and gets mad and he says a few things. He says, I thought, there's the problem. He says, I thought the prophet would come out, clap his hands, and make a big show. That's what the old man wants. Pat me on the back, make a big show. And then finally, his servant said, if he'd asked you to roar yourself into one of the great rivers of Babylon, he said, you'd have done it. He says, just... what's the difference? And he did it, and he was okay. So the Lord humbled him, and he washed, and he was clean. But we always got the I thought, and that's what we do. But God has her heart, and once God is fetched in the sinner, as that sheep takes that sheep, and he throws it all behind his, and he's got it on his shoulders, and he's going to bring it back to the fold. So we go back to our text, and she comes with all this stuff, and then she communes with Solomon all that was in her heart. You see, Proverbs says, give me thine heart. He's going to have the heart. And when he has the heart, he'll have the attitude, the actions, the thoughts, and the mind, but he's going to have the heart. Bless God for precedent grace, making us, as Psalms 110 says, making us willing in the day of His power. She comes and she communes with Him of all that was in her heart. She couldn't hide anything, and we can't hide anything. We can hide stuff from mom and dad. We can hide stuff from our fellow students, neighbors. We can hide stuff, but we can't hide from God. She communes with Him all that is in her heart. And look at verse 3. And Solomon, the king, told her all her questions. And there was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. Solomon, Christ, tells her all. Now, that's why I had Scott read John 4. Because in John chapter 4, that woman at the well, what did she specifically say when she ran back and told the people, the town folk? She said, come see a man that told me everything I did. Now, did he tell her everything? Did he start when she was a babe? No, he didn't. But he told her all things needful. And that is, we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no way, whether we try to build a Tower of Babel, we'll be confused, or whether we try to work our way to heaven, however we try to do it, there's no way. It's not in our ability. It's not in our wheelhouse to approach God. However, the Lord Jesus Christ, He has the heart, and He will not stop until the communion is sweet and precious. We will look upon Him, says Zechariah, Christ, whom we pierced, and we will be in bitterness of tears, that's repentance, and every house apart, every man apart, this salvation is very personal. And then after that's happened, the next verse, Zechariah 13:1, then there's a fountain opened for sin and uncleanness. And then there's that joy of the fellowship. We understand that the Father chose, the Son redeemed those whom the Father chose, and the Holy Spirit quickens those for whom the Son died. He reveals to us His valued person and His achievements upon Calvary's tree. Our sin is seen, His grace is known, and His love is finally experienced. I've heard about this love. It's the love that the world talks about is I just call it fornicated. It's not the truth. It's horrible. It's ugly. But then we understand how God could love someone such as us. That it amazes me. People get so upset about election. It opens the door of heaven. It doesn't shut the door of heaven. It opens the door. And they get so upset about sovereign discriminatory grace. And yet we, the chosen of God, or those who love Christ, we can't understand how He could love anybody. Because we have seen. We came and we proved Christ with these hard questions. They're not nebulous questions. What about these guys over here? What about this denomination? No, it's personal. And I can't make it personal. And I don't want to make it personal, but God, the Holy Spirit, He has to. And that's, we'll leave it there. But then look at the next thing. Verses 4 and 5. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built, the meat on his table, the sitting of his servants, the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent, by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. When the queen, now as a queen, in the caravan that she brought, the camels and all that, she had people with her. She couldn't do it all by herself. It's personal. When the queen, she, not anyone else. Salvation is extremely personal. Let me read it to you out of Job. Job chapter 19 and verse 25. Job chapter 19, starting verse 25. Job says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another. Though my reins be consumed within me, I shall see for myself." Have you seen Christ in all His fame, in all His glory, in all His splendor for yourself? And then once you see that, you like the woman at the well, go. And she went and she told, "Come see a man who told me everything that ever I did." Now, the eyes of faith, now fully fixed upon Him who we need for all and everything, or else we perish. And it says, it's interesting, and I noticed that in verse 5, the last part, there was no more spirit in her. I know there's a lot said about this, but to me, there's no more spirit in her. That means I'm nothing and He's everything. And I'm going to bring my puny gifts. You know, you get ashamed of it. It's like, I'm going to bring my baptismal certificate. It's like, what am I going to bring? And then she goes on and says, when I saw it, I didn't know the half of it. So, there's true biblical confession, but she had no more spirit in her. That means that self is seen as it is, insignificant. And He is seen as our all in all. Well, then we have true biblical confession, verses 6 and 7. And she said to the king, it was a true report. It was a true report. Doesn't that sound like Isaiah 53? Who hath believed our report? We hear. Is a true report that I heard, there's that word again, in mine own land of thine acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me, thy wisdom and thy prosperity exceeded the fame which I heard. She heard the true report, she acknowledged it. It must be the true report because the Scriptures declare there's only one gospel, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And notice this, and I didn't see this until recently, very recently, like a couple weeks ago. So we're growing together, we're learning together. Look at this, look at what she says here. It was a true report that I heard in my own land of your acts and your wisdom. Okay, look up here. Acts and wisdom. Acts and wisdom. That's what we call Christ and Him crucified. Isn't that true? The acts of thy acts. I heard of Christ. But the wisdom of God, the wisdom of Christ, will save no one. His acts did. Now the wisdom and the providence of God and the sovereignty of God and the foreordination and foreknowledge of God, it set everything up. But Christ must literally act upon what the covenant states. There you have it. The wisdom and acts. Christ and Him crucified. Nay, risen. God's wisdom never saved anyone, but combined with the actions of a crucified elder brother, or Christ, we are reconciled to God. Truth plus the living vital reality of blood shed for transgressors. Therefore, God is honored and we are recovered. His acts and His wisdom. And the Son's glorified. The acts, and basically the acts of God, the Son dying, suffering, and expiring upon the tree, and raising from the dead, ratifies or certifies the wisdom of God. We could read about who God is and everything, but if He didn't do anything that He said He came to do, it wouldn't ratify a thing. We worship a crucified Redeemer, a risen Redeemer. So I just thought that was just, it's like, I had to back up and just rewrite my notes. I'm like, man, that's amazing. What do you mean the Old Testament saints didn't understand Christ and Him crucified? You bet they did. The last thing, and we'll skip to verse 10. Now comes the proper motive for gifts. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee, verse 9, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever, and made thee king to do judgment and justice. See the clock anywhere? There it is. Okay. Verse 10, and she gave the king 120 talents of gold, spices, very great store, precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Now is proper gift giving. It's done out of love. Is done out of an amazing gratitude for such grace given to such sinners like us. It's not out of duty, not out of obligation, but thankfulness and humble adoration. Or as James says, works flowing from grace imparted. James, there's a reason for James being in there. Works after faith in the heart, after we've communed with Christ our Lord. She communed with Him all her heart, and He told her everything. And now, we cannot give Him, but that's not, we're not even thinking that. We're just so thankful and so amazed that His grace, while on others thou art calling, He didn't pass us by. He didn't pass us by. I'm going to give. Support the ministry. Support missionaries. Support whatever you've got, whatever you got going on. You're going to do it willingly and thankfully, because blessed be the Lord thy God. She sees it. She sees it. And she signed me up. Where do I sign up? Well, may the Lord give us grace to trust in Him and confess Him in believer's baptism if need be, but just to be a part of this gospel, to be a part of this Christ, the Christ. And struggles? Oh, my word. We don't know struggles until the new creature's there. And the old man, he's not going anywhere. Actually, that article on by Spurgeon on that, these verses, he's got a really good section about the old man and the new man. He carries them on like a conversation, and I thought, boy, if that isn't the truth. The old man says, what right do you got to be here? I'm gonna stomp you out. And the new man says, I'm here for good. He says, well, I'm gonna make it hard. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna get people to talk about you. This and all this other thing. I'm gonna hit you. I'm gonna do this and all this stuff. I know, but here where I stand, I can do no other. And thank God that there's a struggle. Thank God that there's a struggle. And thank God that He that is in us is greater than He that's in the world.